This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Well, we covered yesterday details about the South 1 School District beginning a bond campaign. So we're going to talk more about it today. Superintendent Terry Prestiani, thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon, Kyle.
So at 22, boy, I need new glasses. In 2020, that's what I was trying to say, you're going to have a $22 million bond measure on the ballot in May, not that far off. Let's talk about the process first that went into this. How far back did the board and others start working on this idea?
Well, Kyle, we've been facilities have been a priority for us for a long time. Obviously, kids come first, but we need to make sure our facilities are well maintained. So we've been working on a facilities plan for a long time, and we've had some bumps in the road. For instance, the Snowmageddon last year kind of slowed us down a little bit. But we've been working on this bond in some general manner since the last bond failed in 2018.
What did you learn from that experience, and what was different about that bond?
You know, it was our first attempt in looking at a bond measure, and it was our last bond measure was going to come off of the tax rolls, and that's the bond that built East School, and so we actually submitted a bond ballot that was $42 million. We actually had $4 million in matching grants, and we were going to build a K through 5 school on some district-owned property. And we listened to what the taxpayer told us. We had a lot of conversations with people, and basically we were told that was too big a step, that we were asking too much at one time. Most people understand that school facilities are important and that we need to do what we can to maintain them, and at some point you're going to have to build new facilities. But we learned that that was too big a step.
So what did you do process-wise as you put this together? What was involved?
Well, Kyle, a lot of it was informal in some ways, because right after the bond, we spent a lot of time listening to the general public who were more than willing to talk to us about, you know, the failure of the bond at that time. And so we started with that, and we called in a few key people who had a lot of things to say about what we were doing. So we started in that direction, and then we really started to spend a lot of time narrowing our focus on our facilities plan, making sure we had our priorities in line and what was most important for us as a district to maintain, because of safety, security, and other things. So that was really the first step.
We'll talk about all the things involved that have been identified for spending in a bit here, but how did you determine, when you've got so many different things that maybe you would like to do, how to narrow it down essentially?
Well, I think first off, you got to take a look at, it's kids first. And so immediately we look at safety and security, and we know that the design of buildings from the 50s, 60s, and 70s typically had an open concept, and we want to do everything we can to avoid that and provide a safe environment for our students. So that obviously was the first thing, and then we really needed to think about protecting the current investment that we have in our property. So you know, over the course of many, many years, school districts during down times have had to make cutbacks in maintenance, and Sutherland's no different than everybody else. We tried for years and years to make sure we're maintaining what we're doing on the ground with students was the most important factor. And in the end, now we're paying the price because facilities do run down. And we also realize that facilities do have a definite timeline. Whether you maintain them or not, there are certain things that are going to happen to facilities that can't be repaired or replaced.
So who and what groups have been involved with the board in this process?
Well, we took a number of approaches. Like I said, the first thing we did is we listened to the general public who came to us and talked to us about the failure of the last bond. And then we started with our facilities committees and our facilities work in work groups at the board level. And then we used surveys that we sent out to parents and students referring somewhat to safety and a lot to culture and climate, but gave us information about our buildings. We reached out to the PTOs and booster clubs. And then really we were looking at other community meetings, but what we found was that when we went to work on reconfiguration last year and changing where our grade levels were, those community meetings that we had with our general public around that really spoke to our facilities needs. And so we relied pretty heavily on that. And then here in the end, in the last few months, we've polled, did some representative polling of the general population.
So the decision recently made to move forward, but this is going to be on the May ballot this year, and that means you're literally weeks off.
Well, we're the timeline seems a little short, but we wanted to make sure we laid the groundwork prior to this particular point. And so it was really important that before we made the official decision that we knew where we were going and had as many decisions made as we possibly could. So while the time frame seems a little short, I think we're right where we need to be as far as that's concerned.
Was there any discussion about not about getting this together and then not doing the request until the November election?
There was some discussion around that, and we've been, you know, in our long-term planning, but there are a lot of reasons to avoid November elections, in particular during presidential years.
Right, and you have so many other things getting people's focus as well.
Yes.
And I suppose from a practical measure as well, you sort of lose one construction season almost in terms of beginning to plan things.
Yeah, and I think that does play a factor. Construction prices are continuing to rise. So, and that may come to a halt at some particular point in time. But the longer we wait, the more it's going to cost. And I think we need to be very careful of that. We are very concerned about the cost to our patrons, and that had to weigh into it also.
So we're going to talk about some of the specific aspects. We won't get through all of this before we take our break, but let's start with the replacing West Intermediate School. Kind of go in depth about that.
Well, West Intermediate School was built in 1953, so that's been a long time. There were some upgrades in the late 90s with some modulars put onto the campus, and that definitely is a building or our building in the district that's most in need. When we did our facilities assessment before the previous bond, it was recommended that we replace that building. And we were told, and through research and work with our architect and the facilities plan, that the replacement of that building would far outweigh trying to repair it.
Now, where would this new building be?
So we propose to put the new building on currently district-owned property. Our preference at this particular point in time is off of Umatilla Street, which is directly behind our school district office. What it does is it puts all of our schools within a few square blocks of each other. It brings those West students from the freeway across the railroad tracks into what we feel is a much safer situation. Makes everything more centrally located.
So what would you do with the current building?
So that's currently up for debate. We're working on that right now. The value of that property is currently being assessed as bare land or as it is now. Once we get that assessment, we will weigh what parts of that building may possibly still be used, what parts of that land can be used for, community uses like athletic fields, and weigh that against the possibility of selling it.
Now, you talked about the upsides of having all the schools in a very close perimeter, almost like a big campus. Do you see any downsides with just traffic and things like that?
Sure, there could be some issues with traffic, but we've worked pretty closely with the city of Sutherland to look at some possible designs that might mitigate that. We also would have to be very mindful of school release times. to make sure that not all schools are releasing at the same time would provide a lot of congestion. But currently, right now, even at our East Primary School, we have serious parking problems. When we have events like Grandparents' Day, there's no place for people to park. And I know that sounds maybe minuscule, but it is pretty important to our community. By putting this building where it is, we can provide a little extra parking for East when there are events. It will provide extra parking for athletic events. Those are, you know, that's just another advantage of putting it in an area located close to the other school.
Going to take a break. More when we come back with Superintendent Terry Prestiani of the Sutherland School District. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 on Inside Douglas County from News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, KQE and Local Talk at 4. True Wealth this afternoon with David Littlejohn and Katie Shook. Superintendent Terry Prestiani of the Sutherland School District with us, talking about the district kicking off a bond campaign. $22 million bond measure will be on the May 2020 ballot this spring, going towards funding $26 million in identified projects. And I'm not sure we mentioned this in the first segment, but if passed, you are able to make your money go a little farther because of not a partial match from the state.
Yeah, the Oregon School Capital Improvement Matching Program, awesome. We qualified again for a $4 million matching grant. So on top of the $22 million, if the bond passes, we will get $4 million more.
So talk about, if this is passed, what it would cost property owners in the Sutherland School District.
So if the bond is passed, it's estimated that the cost would be about $1.29 per $1,000 of assessed value. Now, when we produced our first information regarding this, it was $1.34. But that shows how much this can change and that these are simply estimates. But right now, it would cost $1.29 per $1,000 of assessed value.
And then how many years would this be in effect?
A 30-year bond.
And is that pretty much the traditional length on a school bond?
Anywhere from 20 to 30 is typical.
So you had the unsuccess or the non-success last time around. It seems like you've gone to a lot of effort to really push this one. Obviously, you've dialed the amount down quite a bit. What's your plan for communicating with voters between now and May?
You know, it's really important that we get out, obviously, on radio, TV, news. We are out for social media. A lot of stuff happening on social media at this particular point in time. And then we'll also be doing some mailers out. There'll be some mailers out to the general public. And we will be having community meetings. We'll probably start the scheduling process at our next board meeting, which is February 10th.
So any idea at this point how many community meetings you might have?
Do not know at this particular point in time. It really depends on interest, but probably 2 to 4.
So let's go back and talk some of the other aspects of this. We talked about West Intermediate School getting a new building. What's next on your list?
Well, first off, that West Intermediate School replacement would build us a secure building for grades 3, 4, and 5. We already have a good secure building for grades K through 2. We would like to use the remainder of the money to and plan to increase safety and security at both our high school and middle school with secure fencing, making sure we have good camera systems, good communication systems, intercom systems, phone systems, and limiting access points for people into those buildings. We also have other maintenance issues that we would like to see that are meant to protect our current investment. We know that East School is 20 years old and going to need a roof replacement soon. The middle school has large windows in each classroom that are terribly inefficient and not good for safety. We'd like to replace those with walls and more energy efficient windows. And again, really relying on and looking at safety.
So when you talk about trying to make these buildings safer, when you've got existing buildings that were designed with this more open concept, what kinds of ideas are out there to make them safer?
So ultimately, you'd like to have a completely enclosed building with a secure vestibule where parents walk in or patrons walk in and have to go through a series of locked doors to come through. That is a little difficult in the two remaining buildings that we have besides West. And so we would be funneling the foot traffic and road traffic through fencing to areas that are well covered by cameras and, again, limiting the number of access points.
And obviously, in the newer building, you can design it the way you in the brand new building, you can design it the way that you probably wish you could redesign the other ones.
Yeah, a brand new building would take security and safety as the first priority.
It's just amazing in how all of that has changed for a lot of different reasons. And the fencing issue is interesting as well, as I've thought about it with different school districts, not just yours. But for a long time, there was very little fencing on just about any campus unless you were right by a high traffic street.
Sure. Yeah. Times have changed. And again, you know, like you said earlier, our schools were built with an open concept, and there are multiple, and I mean more than multiple, entry points to all of our buildings, and we want to limit that access. Again, you know, it comes down to communication also. We need to make sure all our intercom systems work well, all of our fire systems are working well, and those are things that just are left behind when your buildings get older.
And for West Intermediate, with a new building, how would that help you in terms of things like modern technology and servers and all the computers that would be going into that?
Well, obviously, older buildings we build upon, you know, one thing after the other. We add. And a new building would come with, you know, all of the technology that we need in terms of the infrastructure. It would also provide us a better situation for music and also provide science facilities that we really don't have at West Intermediate. It would give us just some facilities that we can expand upon some of the good things we already do.
Now, you mentioned the close proximity of all the schools. If this passes and the new school is built on Umatilla Street, how would that help you in terms of either staff or programs where you could concentrate an investment in one building but maybe have it used by kids at maybe the next level up or the next level down?
Well, you know, I think Sutherland School District does a great job of sharing resources. So our high school and middle school cooperate in terms of band classes and music classes. We share those between each other. And there are some mixed groups between middle school and high school. Our high school wood shop provides wood shop opportunities for West school students every year in the spring and sometimes in the fall. And we have to bus students to those experiences. Now they'll be right there, right next to campus, and can access those facilities.
And I suppose with fencing done a particular way, you can get kids from building A to building B and know that they remain secure and sort of stay on track and don't wander off.
But it does make that situation much better, yes, if we do it correctly. And we can also share athletic facilities, which I think are important. Right now, the only athletic facilities, or most of the athletic facilities in the community that are available to outside organizations like Sutherland Valley Rec, come from our school district. And so this could help us to improve those facilities too down the line, although they are not part of the bond levy.
So at this point, are you going to be doing any kind of online platform to have all this information out there, either in the district website or a separate website for the effort?
Yes, currently we have a one-page frequently asked questions that is on our school district website, and it actually has a lot of information and a link to actually Douglas County Tax Assessor's Office where people can look at their assessed value of their homes.
And then if people want to find out more information, find out when these meetings are going to come up, things like that, then that'll be on the website too?
Yeah, all of those will be posted on our website, reader board downtown, on social media. We'll get the information out to the newspaper and radio also.
All right, $22 million bond measure coming to the May 2020 ballot for the Sutherland School District. Superintendent Terry Prestiani, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
1257 at News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.